We want you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 this morning, and we're looking at the title, The Secret Place. The Secret Place. So in Matthew chapter 6, it's the Sermon on the Mount. We looked at the first few verses last week. We're going to read through that. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. The Secret Place is the title of today's message. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2, therefore, when you do your charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they can be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. So in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who sees in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Great encouragement. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. It's the living word of God. Your word is able to accomplish what no person can. We believe in your word. We believe that your word changes and transforms lives. We believe that so much that we would not be here today if that were not true. We believe it to be true. So we pray that the Holy Spirit of God takes the Holy Word of God right now, deposit it into our mind and our heart, that our will would be this: Father, not my will, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, we're so grateful that you're able to join us here this morning. And I've used this illustration in the past, but it's timely. Sometimes these personal illustrations are really key and really important. But it goes back to a time in the 70s, and it was around probably 1977 or so. I was in Colorado. I'd moved to Fort Collins, Colorado, specifically because I wanted my life to change. I was just living so sinfully in Southern California that for some strange reason, I thought if I moved to Colorado, Rocky Mountain High was calling me, that things would change. But you know, no matter where you live, your sin is right there with you. So as soon as I got there, my sin was there before I ever got there. But it was a nice attempt on my own part. My friends came to visit me. We went up the canyon outside of Fort Collins, Colorado. It's called Poudre Canyon. And we drive up the canyon, and we were fishing, and we had this spot we were camping at. It was up on a bluff, and we could see the river going down below. Now, there were numerous signs, and it was around this time of the year, it was in summer, numerous signs posted saying, do not go in the water because of the strain or the strong pull of the water. And so when you're driving up, it does not look like it's going to be too difficult at all. I mean, you grew up in Southern California, you know what strong waves look like, and there's no waves in this river. Well, we were setting our camp up on a bluff, and down below and over the way, a young family was setting up theirs, and we watched as they were setting their tents, mom and dad, but their little girl kind of went down to that river's edge, had a floating device, an inner tube, and sat in it just nonchalantly. It seemed tame, but the water began to stir, and there she was quickly coming around the bend. We're watching her from this bluff, and myself and five other guys were watching this whole scene. There was a log, probably from beavers, that was across the river, and this inner tube she was on, it hit it, and she was gone. My friends and I, down an embankment as fast as possible, guys were holding on to each other on the log, looking in underwater, just trying to find this little girl. Miraculously, this little teeny hand came up a little bit of the water, and one of the guys grabbed her. We picked her up and then wrapped her in a blanket. Her parents were unaware, and I don't think that they were necessarily being neglected. I mean, it's just one of these things. And you felt so bad for the parents, and we screamed, and we have your daughter. She's in a blanket. I remember the parents coming and, in a sense, shocked and stunned. There was no sense of anything other than just handing their daughter healthy right to them in their arms, and they walked away. I was yet saved, but God used situation like that to draw me to himself. And when we're living this life right now, this life that we're living, we can look out, and I think many times we're not really aware of the strong torrent, the riptide in our society, in our life right now. We can look out and things look sparkly and shiny, but once you get in it, man, you are taken downstream. It is a vicious place as a believer to want to live godly in Christ Jesus. And the enemy wants to sink you. The enemy wants you to drown. The enemy wants you to be defeated. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ sees your hand. He grabs you. He holds you. He keeps you. He's never, ever, ever going to let you go. And when he's writing this for us today, these words, the Sermon on the Mount, he's communicating to his disciples, there's a group of them, he's communicating things that are going to be very important. This is at the beginning of their walk with Christ. In our daily discipleship living that you can be reading each day, that's towards the end. In John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, that's the end of his life. Powerful ministry, the vine, the branches. We're at the very beginning. And Jesus wants to make it clear and straight regarding some important, what we would call spiritual disciplines. Now, don't coil back, discipline. I'm not into disciplines. They're spiritual disciplines. For example, if just really in a simple way, that branch we talked about that's in the vine, believe me, that branch is, in a sense, disciplined to stay there. That branch knows, vine, drink up that water. I need it. And that branch that's in the vine, it's depending upon the vine to drink in those nutrients. And it's there. It's steadfast. I'm not going to leave. I'm here. I need you. Do you understand? I mean, it doesn't matter. The winds blow. I'm staying right here. And the Lord is saying, I want you to stay with me. I want you to stay with me. You're the branch and in the vine. But Jesus is so straight up with us. He's saying there's been a huge misrepresentation on what it means to give, what it means to pray, what it means to fast. So he's saying, I'm not erasing those from the Christian life. It's an essential part of our life and our relationship with him. To give, to pray, to fast, it's essential. He doesn't say, if you, you know, give, if you pray, if you fast. He says, when. So it's in play. It's to be in play. It's a volunteer response on your own part. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, it's up to you. But he says, it's been misrepresented. The religious leaders are doing things that do not represent the heart of God. And it's not the kind of heart I want you to have in your relationship with me. Jesus is saying to us, it's that secret place. Jesus is saying, I want to have a personal, private time with you, unbeknownst to anyone else. He says, I want that. I want to be with you. The branch in the vine. The vine is saying to the branch, come on, I want you to be found in me. Not having your own righteousness, but the righteousness is all in part to you. Do you follow me on this illustration? So when he's talking first and foremost, he's saying, there's been a misrepresentation about giving. And we see, as we read last week and we taught on this, and just as a overview on this particular point that he's saying, first and foremost, this is what we must always remember, I believe. Listen now. It's not what you're giving to any person or organization that matters right now. What matters is that you and I give ourselves to God. That's what he's asking. He's saying, just give yourself to me. Just give yourself to me. Give yourself wholeheartedly to him. That's what he's asking. So when we give ourselves to him, then anything I do as a result of giving myself to him, it's with great joy. It's with great delight. It's not with, in a sense of, you know, frustration or demand or because of some other reason. Jesus says, I want the motive of your heart to be a pure motive. You see, when we find that secret place, it's a quiet place. It's a quiet place. Now, literally, I think you and I, we probably have certain places that we would call our secret place. Now, I'll tell you right up, mine's not in a closet. I have claustrophobic. I mean, I just, tight place. I need windows open. It's like, that's not going to work for me, okay? I like to see things. Sometimes my secret place might be in the front seat of my car, arriving at an appointment intentionally 15 minutes early because I need to quiet my heart. I need to be quiet. I need to hear from God. I need to receive from God. The Northwest is beautiful. There's so many outdoor spots that you can go to, and my wife and I have many as well. But that secret place. Hey, This happened a number of years ago, and it happened with nobody that's in this group right now. But there was a fella, and I loved his energy, young, in his 20s. There was a zeal for God, and I loved it. There was a passion and a love for God. And I met with him a number of times, and he asked me just directly, do you have a closet, that you go into and pray? He says, no, you don't. You don't? I mean, he's like you don't have a dog and you don't have a closet? I mean, just like, you don't have a closet? No, I don't. He goes, I can't go anymore. You can't go where? No, I can't come to your fellowship. I can't follow a pastor who doesn't have a closet he goes to. I'm serious. I mean, you should see this. I mean, we could write books on things, okay? It's like, because I don't have a closet. Do you know what I would do in a closet? Because of my mind, the way I'm made up. I get in a closet. If I'm in a closet, I'm thinking, you know, we could put some shelves there. We can rearrange that. We can just, like, my mind, it just goes to play. I can't help it. It's just the way that it is. And then we rearrange it, and then it's like, okay, I got the feel of it. No, I need to get another feel. It doesn't work. And so that was enough for somebody to think they couldn't trust me because I wasn't in this little square cubicle. And I would just don't think I would pray for deliverance. God, deliver me from this crazy place. Do you see? Do you see that Jesus is saying there's so much misunderstanding and misrepresentation? And part of what we do, and I do as a pastor, is I just want you to be in love with Jesus. I don't want it to get complicated because I can't keep up if it's complicated. I've got, you know, limited resources here, okay? So keep it simple. So he's saying for us, in this secret and abiding place with him, he'll show us. He'll show us, he'll tell us, he'll lead us on what he may have us to do. And this charitable deed, it's in a sense, it's both serving, and it has to do with giving of resources too. We'll get into that more later on when he speaks about the kingdom of heaven in that way. But it's giving yourself to him, giving completely to him. As a matter of fact, still in Matthew, but if you went over to Matthew chapter 20 for just a second with me, Matthew chapter 20. So when we're looking up another verse, if you're not familiar, this is called like a cross-reference. In other words, there's things in the Bible that complement each other and sometimes help us to understand even in a greater way. But in Matthew, in chapter 20, in verses 20 to 28, it's really interesting because it says in verse 20, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down, asking something from Jesus. So this is the mother of James and John. These guys, James and John, their nickname was Sons of Thunder. Could you imagine these guys? I mean, in your school, who are your friends? The Sons of Thunders. Going to a different school. Okay, it's okay. They're the son. They got it. There's a reason they have that name. And it says in verse 21, and Jesus says to her, well, what do you want? What do you wish? And she says that my sons may sit one on the right side and the other on the left. What a mom. She's saying, Jesus, I want my boys set up. You know, CEO, CFO, whatever it is. I want them there. We got all these other guys around, but, you know, mom's just moving in. And Jesus said, you know what you're asking? Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized? And they said, in other words, they're with mom. Oh, yeah, we can do that. I mean, he's going to the cross. He's going to die. And he says, are you willing? Do you understand what you're saying that you want? They're just thinking of a position to in the overthrow of Rome at this point, I believe. 23, Jesus says, you indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and my left hand, that's not for me. It's prepared by my Father. And when they heard it, when the 10 heard it, all right, so you got the 12? And so, I mean, you have to think of this scenario, right? Okay, they're positioning themselves. The Messiah's here, Sons of Thunder, we're close. And mom's been prodding us along, and she says, I asked you to ask Jesus. Did you ask Jesus yet to sit on his right? You haven't asked him? Okay, I'm doing it. So I'm just, it's not in the Bible, but I know moms. And so at my dad's memorial service, I was able to speak, which was only by the grace of God. I have 9 brothers and sisters, and it was in a Catholic church. And so right up front, it was just an amazing opportunity, the church that we grew up in. And the priest was on the altar, Father Joshua, really, really blessed. And at the end of it, I said, and to my other brothers and sisters, myself, okay, dad's gone, but I just says, just so that you know, mom brought us into this world and mom can take us out. In other words, moms. So she goes on behalf of her sons and says they want that position. But the other 10 are listening and thinking, how could have you allowed that to happen? What they're really saying is, I wish we would have asked first. is really what they're saying, probably. But Jesus said, called them to himself. So now he's going to speak to them. He's speaking to us. What are we doing? We're talking about giving ourselves to the Lord. And he says, do you not know that the rulers of the Gentile, they lord it over them? And those who are great, they exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so amongst you. Whoever desires to become great amongst you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first amongst you, let him be your slaves. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. When we give ourselves to the Lord and we begin to serve God and support the work of God, it gains us zero position. Zero position. We're not influencing God. We're not, in a sense, buying a position or buying anything. If it is, it's a mistake. Now, here's also a really important thing that he is helping us understand. In our lives, growing up from a very young age to right now, nobody's exempt from this. Our hearts have been schooled about how to seek the approval of others. And in seeking the approval of others, we will find ourselves in tremendous bondage. And it happens in homes, in families, in jobs, in schools, and specifically in churches. It happens. And what happens is that you're seeking for that approval from somebody in authority. And that is a hard thing to understand how to get free from, because it is a vicious master over your lives. Vicious. It messes with your mind, your heart, your emotions. And Jesus is saying to these disciples, the examples out there are not the examples I want you to follow. I came from heaven to be the king, but I came as a servant. And I want you to be servants as well. I want you to be my servants. And in being a servant, you'll realize the approval you have from God. So as a pastor for 25 years here, if you've been around me, you know my desire is to encourage you in the Lord. I just want to encourage you in the Lord. I'm going to send you texts. I'm going to see you. How are you doing? I'm going to encourage you in the Lord. But there's boundaries. There's boundaries for all of this. Because there's an encouragement and an approval that can only come from God, not from me. And for me to interject myself as the one to bring that level of approval or to create, and it can happen and it does, to create a relationship that puts you in bondage to me or ministry, that's a mistake. That our approval, our affirmation comes from God. The vine dresser and the vine and the branch. Just keep thinking about that. That branch is in the vine. It's abiding in the vine. The life of the branch that's going to bear fruit comes back to the vine. And the reason it's bearing fruit is because it's been approved and affirmed by the vine. It's life. It's nutrient. It's because of the vine. It's not because of people walking by saying, oh, wow, look at those grapes. Those are beautiful grapes. Oh, how lovely are those grapes. The grapes go, that's nice. You like my grapes, but I like the vine. I'm in the vine. My life is in the vine. No matter what you say or not say about me and my grapes, I don't really care. I'm in the vine. I'm secure in the vine. I'm in the vine. So whether you like it or not, I'm in the vine. My fruit's very tasty, but maybe you don't like this kind of good fruit. Not going to hurt my feelings. I'm in the vine. I've been approved by heaven. I'm making a point here. He's very strong. Jesus is very strong on saying it's been misrepresented. And then he gets into prayer, And he's saying, again, with what you've seen, you have seen a showboat of prayer. Now, obviously, we believe in prayer. We believe in praying with one another. We believe in public prayer. We pray in the back an hour before the service. We open the service with prayer. Our children are praying in the back. After we read the word, we pray. When we close, we pray. So he's not saying don't pray publicly. He's not saying that. But he's saying, if you are all about praying publicly and you have no secret prayer life, that's a mistake. You're not getting it. You don't understand. Because it's in that secret time. Just like he said in that first four verses, he says, I see in secret and I will reward you openly. Many years ago, it was in the early 80s, we weren't not yet in ministry. I was in sales. And do you remember travel agents, the position of a travel agent? I don't know if there's any that exist anymore, but you really couldn't buy an airline ticket other than you go to a travel agent. And the travel agent works in an office and they have, you know, they make all the phone calls for you and they get all the tickets and they do that. Well, we had a woman at our church about our age, and she that's what she did. And then, it's again in the 80s, Nike shoes, tennis shoes. And I used to run. Now I just wear the shoes. Okay, but anyways, back then, so that's what you think. It's okay, I'm in the vine. It doesn't matter. I don't need your approval. Back then, I mean, I coveted a pair of Nike shoes, but there's no way we could afford it. I mean, there's no possible way back then. And I'm not sure what this travel agent, she was going to Japan. And she goes, we talked about shoes. She goes, I can get those shoes for you. Really? Like for how much? And I don't know.
15.
How much?
15.
Yeah. Good. I was going to say 25, but 15 is a better deal. I like it. So she's going to get these, and they're very, very expensive Nike shoes. We gave her the size, everything. She went, because as a travel agent, you get to take trips, and that's the whole thing. So she came back, and she gave us that box. I opened it up. New shoes, not stinky, new. I mean, they're good. It's like, wow. That night, we were having some missionaries over. They never had root beer floats before. We were giving root beer floats. We can still remember that night. And then he was saying, unbeknownst to anything that we're saying, he just says, yeah. And where we're at, I really need a good pair of tennis shoes. And my wife gave me the eyebrows. The eyebrows are better than the eye, okay? So eyebrows are good. we work together good on things like this because I believe God's helped us just to be coordinated. And so, obviously, these shoes went to somebody else right there. I was like, bye. But so I lost my reward. It's fine. It's worth the illustration. I'm just saying. I did it openly, Lord. It's okay. Okay. So, yeah. When you're in that secret place, your heart is tender. And no matter what we possess, it does not possess us. It all belongs to the Lord. It's all His. And He has to have the ability to say, release. And it's a blessing in doing that. As a matter of fact, when I see where you're sitting right now, when we purchased this facility, it had no chairs in it at all. And we're getting close to starting our ministry. And it dawned on me, and Jim, we need some chairs. And so I was like, what are you going to do? I don't know. Just tell people to take their patio furniture here on Sunday? I don't know. I just like, what do you do? I called my friend, Pastor Randy, in Seattle, West Seattle. And I said, Pastor Randy, you have these Bertolini chairs. You just bought them. Give me the sales guy. I got to get a deal. We need them. He goes, well, it takes 3 months. Give me his number. He goes, why do you want the number? I said, we need the chairs. He goes, I just ordered 249 chairs. They're still shrink wrapped for our facility in West Seattle. But we had to move, and we moved into a school that has theater seats. I have 247 Bertolini chairs for sale for you. So the chairs you're sitting in are from our pastor friend Randy. Color, size, and look at the number. I mean, God knows. In other words, what I'm saying is this. God rewards us as we seek Him. As we seek Him, He takes care of us. He takes care of us. When we pray, He says, do not use, verse 7, we read it, vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. I grew up memorizing prayers. And in the memorizing of prayers, on a rosary, there's 10 Hail Marys and one Our Father. And you do that, 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father. You do that five times around. As you know, we played for a very competitive high school team in Southern California. Our coach is the second most winningest coach in all of California's history. I mean, it was quite a program. It's a Catholic school. Recruitment and everything. So, anyways, when we go to a game on the bus, we have to say these prayers. We have to say the whole rosary, no talking. And so you can imagine how it goes. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord, thee, blessed thou, blessed thou, holy Mary, Mother God, pray for sinners now, the hour of death, amen. And so I'm serious. I mean, just like, it was vain repetition. And he's saying, basically, the Lord, don't insult me. I already know your heart. I know what's on your mind. I know what you're thinking. Just come to me. Come to me. Come to me in that secret place. Now, is it wrong to repeat a prayer? No. Jesus says, Lord, if you're willing for this cup to pass, not my will, thy will be done. Of course not. But you understand what vain repetition is. A lot of energy saying the same thing to make you feel good, but it has nothing to do about a relationship with God. We have to be very careful, because I see personally, and I'm moving now to a personal notation. So I'm saying personally, I'm speaking as Pastor Tom personally. I see a lot of things within the church, the body of Christ, right now that concerns me greatly regarding, are we representing the heart of Jesus or not? What are we doing? And I'm speaking of Calvary Chapels as well. No one is exempt from that, and I'm not either. And I'm not portraying myself in any position of self-righteousness. I'm saying I take to heart what Jesus is saying. And am I in any way misrepresenting Jesus? And so in these days in which we live, God said He wishes that none would perish, but all would be saved. Correct? All. He wishes none would perish. But a lot of times, people in leadership, and you're wanting to reach certain groups of people, and it's like, well, all I need to do is get, 15 more tattoos, 3 more piercings, tight jeans, and I'm going to reach the lost. I'm going to reach the next generation. No, there's that mentality out there. Listen. We reach nobody. The Holy Spirit of God is what has to reach somebody. It has to be the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God will use a holy vessel yielded to God. No matter what you look like, what you're wearing, ink, no ink, has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit of God moving in somebody's heart and mind. And you and I, as a vessel yielded to Him, we get the privilege to listen to what the Spirit of God may want to say, or He may want us to serve or love or represent Him. That's what He's looking for. And when we come over here to the Sermon on the Mount, he's getting these disciples, and they're going to bring the message after the day of Pentecost, but he's telling them, what you see represented, it's not representing me. And then, finally, when we're looking here, and we already taught on a Wednesday night, we taught on the Lord's Prayer, and so that message has been recorded. But if we go to the last part here, in verses 16, 17, and 18, again, he's saying, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be misled. I don't want you to be a hypocrite. We talked about this last week as well afterwards, and I think it was pointed out, we were talking about, so a hypocrite is somebody that's a play actor. So back in this time, you didn't have this cast of a lot of different people. You may have had one individual that was representing more than one character, and so they would put a mask in front and play this character, and put a mask in front and play that character. And in a sense, that's where the word hypocrite comes from, play acting, you know, pretending, being somebody that you're not. And so he's saying, these religious leaders, they're actors. They're not, their hearts are not with me. And again, I want you to know, I pray, God, help my heart be close to you. I need the secret place with you. I need to be there. Well, what about fasting? Is that still like a New Testament thing? Of course it is. Well, what is it? Well, fasting simply is telling my body no when all it's been conditioned to is yes. So, well, why do you do that? Why would you tell your body no? Well, it's a spiritual discipline because as my body is wanting something to eat, say, and I say no, then purposefully I should move towards why no. I should be probably praying. That's why. In other words, we've conditioned our bodies to eat 3 meals a day, correct? Not, come on now, plus snacks. and plus some ice cream, too. That comes in the treat category. My wife says, I think you should do some fasting. I says, let's just take the first 2 meals off and I'll do the treats and the ice cream. What happens is this, when we're looking at this, he says, do not signal to somebody else about what you're doing. So say, for example, like today, I come up here. Well, I really want to give this message really good, but it's been tough. I've been fasting for you and for this message. Just gives me all I can do. It gives this man, I got a headache. Anybody have any crackers? Are we having communion? He said, that's not appropriate. No, because he's having to deal with all these things he's dealing with, and we can laugh at it. But if we dig a little deeper, we can find ourselves in this because we want to impress somebody else. Inside, again, this sense of their approval. And sometimes we want their approval more than God's affirmation and love for us. In other words, instead of being abiding as a branch in that vine, we're looking to be a branch in the approval of others, or the commentary of others, or the thought, or whatever else. He's saying, take heed, be careful, beware. It won't work. So fasting is a good thing. As we fast, we begin to pray. So we talked about 3 things today. We talked about giving, so give yourself to God. And as you give yourself to God, he'll show you how he wants to use you and how he wants to bless you and how he wants to use your resources as you yield to him, not for the approval of others. And just so that you know, and Jim knows too, he's our financial overseer, but I don't look at what anybody gives. I don't really care. I don't want to know. So it's a secret. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. It's between you and the Lord. I get the final total so we can pray over, what do you want us to do, God? Of course, we do that management weekly, but it's between you and God. You know, I don't dictate to you. You have to do this. You have to serve. If the Lord is encouraging you to do that, if he says, I'm tired of serving this, it's come, just take a break. Well, it won't get done. It'll get done. It always gets done. Things get done. Okay? Are we good here? You with me? And to pray. That's something we want to cultivate. And that secret place is wherever it may be for you. But just say, I need that secret place. I need that quiet place. That quiet place, it purifies my heart. And in that quiet place, when my heart is purified, my fellowship with Jesus, I can hear clearly. I know what he wants. And then fasting is something we don't do that much of, but is suggested to do something, which may mean going without a meal. Oh, can I still have coffee? Again, we bring up all these stipulations. Like, when is it? Is it really fasting or not fasting? I mean, is it like a full fast if I go for two meals and three? See, all of that. see what we do? I mean, we do, it's like, how can I be a good hypocrite? It's basically what we're asking. It's like, look it. Don't do anything. Just find that quiet place and the Lord will show you what to do. And that's what he's looking for. He'll show you. I'll show you. Sometimes when we fast, it can take these three but go backwards. So if we fast, it can really help our prayer life and cause us to be more directed in a prayer life. And as we're praying, then that first one about how do you want me, Lord, to give myself to your purposes, it can go that way real beautifully as well. We good here today? All right. Sean's going to come up and lead us in a final worship, and we're all going to stand right now. As we stand, I'd like to conclude in a final prayer that we have here. We were talking a couple weeks ago, we were meeting with our board, and this again, just, I always love to give encouragement as we seek God, and many things we do, things that I do in serving people, even though I might be that one person in a hospital room with somebody, you're all with me. We're all part of a family. I'm just doing what God's asked me to do. I'm doing on behalf of Jesus. I'm doing on behalf of our family. I represent the Lord and our fellowship. And again, we're not looking in any sense of, you know, this great sense of inappropriate approval. Should encourage one another. Absolutely. We all need encouragement, but in a really godly way. You know the big sign out in front says Calvary Chapel on that? That Guide Meridian used to be just two lanes. Years ago, they expanded it to four. Part of the state's process was saying our sign encroached upon what they were doing, so we would have to move the sign, but they would give us the money needed to move the sign. So through all of that, to move the sign because it was going to be encroaching on the setbacks, they gave us $10,000 to take care of moving the sign, which is a fairly right market price. Once we decided, I think with Jim's insight, just like, don't do anything until we have to. So once they did everything and they measured the setbacks, we were that, how much, Jimmy, about that much? We didn't have to move the sign. Our sign was inbounds by about that much. And it was at the end of the year, and it was like, Lord, how are we going to make this year-end work? And he goes, I've got it all taken care of. I've got it all taken care of. He will reward you openly as you find that secret place with him. Father, we do thank you so much. If we have distanced ourselves, and I know many times in my life I have, and Father, we want to draw close to you right now, purposely in our heart, saying, God, we're longing to be that branch in the vine. We're going to walk away saying, secret place with Jesus. And there's going to be a new delight in our heart, secret place with Jesus. You want to free, God, us from the bondage of really manipulative approval that has caused bondage in our lives. We've been seeking it, and it's not right. God, may we find all we need from you as we experience our life hidden in Christ. Thank you for that. And friends, also, if you've never made that commitment to Jesus in your life, today, this morning, he's saying, I love you so much. I came, I died, so you can live. Jesus is saying to all of us, everything I did was so I can spend eternity with you. Ask Jesus for forgiveness in your heart right now.